I'm so glad to be before you guys tonight. I hope that you guys are doing well. Those of you who didn't go to MTA Campus Weekend, it's so inspiring to hear that you guys are still on campus, sharing your faith, getting in Bible studies. And I'm just, honestly, I'm just overflowed. This MTA camp was exactly what my heart needed. I am filled with gratitude and awe, and just looking forward to see what God is going to do as I work on these areas and things that these awesome teachers that our church has. So for those who don't know, our summer theme is deeper, and we have been focusing on going deeper in core areas of our discipleship. So we talked about going deeper in God's love and holiness, and last week we talked about purity. So this week I'm pretty honored, honestly, to be talking about going deeper in God, talking about going deeper in essential spiritual disciplines in our quiet times. So Bible study, reflection, prayer, and fasting. All right. I realize that all of us in here, we want to grow, right? Everyone wants to grow. Raise your hand if you want to grow. You want to continue to grow in your relationship with God, right? All of us want to grow. I was going to say, I hope that I would see all of your hands raised. I realize that all of us want to grow in our walk with God. And what's up?
Come on, Carrie.
Sorry.
It's okay. Take your time.
Take us deeper.
So now, Bible study, meditation, prayer, and fasting. Now, raise your hand if you want to grow in any of these areas. Again, that's all of us, right? We should be constantly desiring to mature and grow, becoming more and more like Jesus. I'm certainly no expert in these areas, but I've seen my life change by putting in an effort to grow in these areas. So tonight, the title of my lesson is Thirst for Growth.
All right.
Thirst for Growth. And pray for my laptop, because it's just giving me trouble. So I brainstormed on questions that you guys might have in reference to this topic, and I was able to compile them into two main questions, and that's what we'll focus our lesson around. So my goal is to answer these questions, and the first one is why do we practice these spiritual disciplines? And then number two, how can we use these spiritual disciplines to have deeper, effective, quiet times and grow closer to God? And in answering these, my hope is that God can move in our hearts and motivate us through the scriptures to help us walk away with deeper convictions or even new ones in these areas to help us to have life-changing times with God. Amen?
Amen.
So let's pray together, and we'll get started. Father God, Lord, thank you so much, God, for your love, God, and that's why we're all here, Lord. God, thank you for an amazing weekend at MTA. God, I thank you for protecting and surrounding and putting your provision around the disciples that were here. Lord, I pray that just tonight, God, that you move Kari out of the way, God. Let your spirit speak, God. Let my laptop be obedient, Father. God, just speak to us. Help us to grow closer to you in these areas, these core areas of our discipleship, God. We love you so much. We're so thankful for you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So why do we practice these spiritual disciplines? Turn your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy 32. Verse 46. So it says, he said to them, take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you, they are your life. By them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So this is Moses speaking to the Israelites before his death and before the predecession of Joshua taking God's people into the promised land. And in verse 46, he tells them to take to heart these words, and that these just aren't idle words, but these words are their life. These words are their life. Do you believe that? When you open the Bible, do you believe that these words are your life? The Bible is now our lives. You know, when you read for your quiet time, or you go in with the mindset that I need to take to heart the words that I'm reading. You know, these aren't just idle words, but this is the words of the living and true and living God.
Yeah.
And when you open up your Bible, you are directly hearing from the mouth of God. What an honor is that? We get a chance to hear from the creator of the world every single day. He personally wants to talk to you through his word. How special are we? We should be glowing because of that. And you know, so many people are seeking for attention, for love, for guidance, for worldly wisdom, relationships and counsel, all that stuff. And not all these things are bad. But when those things become your life and your source of truth outside of the Bible, you're going to end up empty, constantly searching. And praise God that we have the Bible. You know, it's tangible, it's ours. And it's all the attention that we need. It is full of love. It is full of guidance. It is full of wisdom and relationships and how to have counsel. It makes us wise for salvation. This is a gift from God and a love letter, a roadmap to become more and more like his son. We should be striving day to day to live like it. And let's be men and women who don't take for granted the Bible, but may we forever be grateful that we have the Bible. May we forever be in awe that we have God's word right at our fingertips.
Yeah.
And that these words are perfect and that it is our life and now it is ours. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I really believe that Bible study should be something that we embrace. We should spend a lot of time doing. And as we talk about why we practice deep Bible study, we need to realize that Bible study is not simply for head knowledge or for me to say I know a lot of scriptures or for me to just fill up my scripture bank, but it really is for the purpose of feeding our spirits and to feed our hearts. You know, another important reason Bible study is so vital is because it helps us to grow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all slander of every kind, and like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Peter is saying that we have to rid ourselves of sin first and like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. You know, when my niece was born, I was afraid to hold babies. You would have thought that you were giving me like a virus or something. I was just afraid to hold babies. But once my niece was born, I don't know, something in my heart changed, and I just remember spending so much time with her, and I would hold her in my arms and I would sing to her. But when she was thirsty for milk, our area of essence and peace and serenity went from this peace to this wild scream and crying and flailing. She wanted milk. She was craving milk. She wanted her milk. So when I gave it to her mom, she had her milk. And she would drink it and she'd be fine again. But that was helping her to grow, right? And in the same way, we need to hunger for pure spiritual milk. Why? Because we have all tasted that the Lord is good. Mm. Salvation is good. We have been chosen, cleansed, forgiven, loved, and crowned with glory and honor. Salvation is good. Amen?
Amen.
God did his part. So in response, we make every effort to grow.
Yeah.
You know, that is our part. That is God's goal for you. He wants you to grow up and become spiritually mature, spiritually solid. He, more than anyone, wants to see Christ continually be formed in us.
Yeah.
And we have God and the Holy Spirit to help in this sanctification process, and amen that we do. But we also play a part in that, you know, of being disciplined and persevering and developing in constant Bible study. In Psalm 42, verse 1 through 2, David writes that his soul longs for God like a deer pants for streams of water. Are you thirsty for the word of God?
Right.
Do you crave growth? You know, are you making every effort to grow up in your salvation? Do you read your Bible every day trying to apply what you're learning? Really ask yourself these questions, because if not, more than likely you're becoming stagnant in your walk with God. And that is Satan's goal. He wants to stunt our spiritual growth and have us reverting back to our old selves or staying the way you are if you are studying the Bible. God is at work in us, and he's for us, and he wants us to know his will and to work for his pleasure. And that is why we should love Bible study. The goal is growth, but the heart is for us to be more and more like Christ.
Right.
So I have some practicals for Bible study. So number one, Make an effective plan for Bible study. An effective Bible study is life-changing Bible study. Ask yourself these questions. What do I need? What do I need to grow in? You know, make a solid plan that's going to help you to target your character, the character issues and change. Maybe even pull some people in that are in your life. Ask the people in your life, what do you see that I can work on? And pray about that. Number two, go at your own pace. Do what you can do. Grow where you can grow. Grow where you are. And add more as you continue to grow. But challenge yourself in that. You know, I'll share for a bit. For my quiet time, I'm reading six chapters a day throughout the Bible, because I'm reading through the Bible. But when I was when I first became a disciple, I was just reading the discipleship handbook, because that's really all I could really handle and apply that stuff to my life. But as you grow, you get to add more. So I'm just sharing where I'm at now as inspiration, not as the standard. So you personally just grow where you are. Amen? And then number three, have a teachable heart. You know, be open to being challenged by the scripture. And critique your life after you read. Ask yourself, what will change from my study of this scripture? And number four, meditation and memorization. You know, meditation helps us to write the words of God on our hearts. Meditation is so powerful. Sit in the quiet. No phone, no laptop, no distractions, in a quiet place alone with you and God, and clear your mind. Honestly, I've just like been so inspired by Charles, because during the semester, he was just doing that a lot. We'd be in the room, this dude would disappear. I'm like, where is he? He'd be in the living room, just the serenity music, and he'd just be sitting in there, zoned out. And I'm like, so inspiring. But it really does just help God's word get on our hearts. And number two, write out scripture and context on note cards. Challenge yourself to remember it. The more and more you do it, the more you will recall scripture during times of temptation. Stress, worry, or heartache. You know, David says in Psalm 119 that he hid God's word in his heart so that he would not sin against him. Memorization helps us avoid falling into sin. You know, these are just some practicals that I think really help, you know, that has helped me and is currently helping me. And like I said, I'm no expert in this area, but I hope that this will be helpful to you in one way or another as we all try to grow in our Bible study and as we all grow closer to God. So point number two is prayer and fasting. You know, I just want to sit at the top talking here about prayer and fasting and why we practice both of these. Bible study is God talking to us, but prayer is us talking to God. You know, our Holy Father not only desires to talk to you through His Word, but He also wants to listen to you. He is eager to hear what's on your mind and your heart. In Psalm 5, verse 3, David says, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and you wait expectantly." Amen. You know, David is saying that when he prays to God this morning, that God hears him. And he prays and waits in expectation. David understood deep in his heart of hearts that God would hear him and that God would answer. Every morning we should pray to God and we should wait in great expectation, because we believe that God wants to hear from us, that he desires to hear from us, and honestly that is a gift that we have from God, that his ears are not closed, but that he sits and listens intently to our prayers. That blows my mind that God is so omnipresent everywhere, but yet that he can hear the prayers of thousands of people at one time. Have you ever pondered that in your mind? That God hears all of our prayers and distinctly remembers everything we pray and is at work in each. That blows my mind. Such an awesome God. You know, how is your prayer life, though? You know, are you striving to pray every day? And what is holding you back from the prayer life that you desire? What is it? What is it? You know, because David's deep love for God, he knew that God was going to answer his prayers. And if he stayed in his will, and as disciples, we can trust and go to God, our Father, boldly and pray according to his will, and he will provide and he will take care of us. You know, Deuteronomy 4:7, it says, "What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him?" That just almost made me tear up. You know, this is Moses talking to the Israelites, reminding them how powerful it is that the true and living God is walking with them when they pray. That they aren't like those who worship idol gods. And we are God's people. When we pray to him, he is walking near us. You know, he's walking near us, walking with us, taking care of us, and fighting for us in the spiritual realm. When we pray, we are tapping into the unseen that is far beyond anything that we can even fathom. God is protecting us and walking step by step with us each day. So decide today that whatever it is that's going on in your life, that you're going to address those things that are hindering your prayer life so that you can really grow in prayer. You know, surrendering, learning to let God control because he wants to carry our burdens. You know, in Hebrew, the writer says so beautifully that Jesus knows every weakness, every temptation, every desire that we are faced with, and he wants to hear your prayers. Like the classic hymn says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless things we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Mm. You know, let's not forfeit peace by carrying things we cannot handle.
Mm.
Amen?
Mm. Good point.
You know, as we come to a close on this point, and I'll talk about fasting. So, biblically, fasting means to abstain from food for a religious discipline. And today we can broaden the definition and not only fast from only food, but our cell phones, from TV, from video games, or a specific activity. You know, either way, the point of fasting is to give up a vital area of our lives and solely depend on God and grow closer to God and have a deeper relationship with God to grow spiritually. You know, Jesus talks about fasting several times, and we know that he himself fasted regularly. And on the Sermon on the Mount, he said that when you fast, expecting his disciples to fast, because fasting was a regular part of the first century Jews, but also the first century church and his disciples.
Yeah.
Matt Lloyd-Jones says this, to quote, he says, "I wonder whether we have ever fasted. I wonder whether it has ever occurred to us that we ought to be considering this question of fasting. The fact is, it is not this whole object that seems to fall in out of our lives, but not only our lives, but right out of our Christian thinking." He goes on to say that fasting and prayer is the fundamental principles of the Christian lifestyle, and just as breathing is fundamental to human beings, fasting and prayer is fundamental to the life of the person who is following the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm.
So fasting is something that we must learn to embrace. You know, fasting, however though, and I'm gonna be real, however, it's challenging.
Yes, it is.
And when we fast correctly, we suffer. We suffer. Amen? We suffer, right?
Amen.
You know, fasting is not fun. It is hard. And there's some suffering that goes on in that. And in our Western culture, we don't like pain. You know, when we're cold, we want to run to the heat. We want to turn up the heat. And when we're hot, we want to go to the air condition, get some cool drinks, and get in the cool. And those of us who are at camp, we can all attest to that right now. You know, I'm going to just speak personally. Last semester, every Thursday, me and Matt decided we were going to fast for the people who were studying the Bible and, you know, for them to become disciples, but also for us to grow in our faith and dependent on God. And so the first couple of times we did it, Matt texted me. He would text me in the middle of the day. He's like, "Bro, how's it going, man? How you doing?" And I texted back. I'm like, "I'm about to die." Like, I was done. But I kind of lost focus in those moments because I was ready to go eat. And Matt would text me back and he would say, "Dude, this is the point. Now you got to give that to God. Focus on God." And he would send me a scripture. You know, we don't fast to, you know, to be a better person or fast to get something, but fasting teaches us to depend solely on God. You know, we don't fast to
come on, Kyrie.
And that's not the purpose. Instead, we fast to depend on God, and God will change you.
That's right.
I believe that the early church had embraced fasting because it was a part of Jesus' ministry, and his disciples did it so fervently. And we see Jesus fasting in Matthew 4. So if you could just turn your Bible with me to Matthew 4 really quickly, and we can read that. You guys with me?
Yeah, good point.
So the text says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell this bread to become stone.' So Jesus is being led by the Spirit into the desert, and we see him fasting and the hunger coming from the fasting. You know, this is one of the few times where we see Jesus fasting, but since he was a Jew, and first century Judaism, it is okay to assume that Jesus fasted regularly, that that was a part of his lifestyle. And just a few chapters over in Matthew 6, Jesus teaches his followers how to fast, which was completely different than how what was happening already. You know, Jesus says to them that we don't fast for people. We're not fasting for people, but we're fasting for God. And so when you fast, you go in a room, and what is done in private, your Father sees. You know, you don't need to fast for people. You don't need to show your face that you're hungry and walk around and moping and all sad, I'm weak. But know that fasting is between you and God, and that you're drawing your strength from God and not from people. You know, God wants our focus to be on him. And as we fast and not trying to make ourselves look more spiritual to people, you know, he's the one we are trying to draw closer to. Amen? You know, and also in Matthew 9, some of the Pharisees questioned Jesus about his disciples not fasting. You know, Jesus told them that how can the guest of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? You know, but there is a time coming where the bridegroom will no longer be with them and they will fast. And what Jesus is saying there is that while I'm here with them, they don't need to fast. They're getting filled from being with me. But when I leave them, then they will fast. Then they will fast. And and so Jesus, you know, gives his disciples a sort of an out here that he wasn't with them. He was with them, so they didn't need to fast.
Okay.
But when he leaves, they will need to fast. Mm. And of course, now the bridegroom, the husband, Jesus, to the church, is no longer with us. So this should be, for us, this should be an emphasis and a priority for us to start fasting. If you aren't, because Jesus isn't here with us right now. And it's all the reason for us to depend on God, to learn how to draw closer to God, to learn how to be deeper in God, to fully embrace God with everything that we have. That is why we need to fast. You know, when you feel, when you fast, you give something up in order to get something. You give up food and that dependence on food or anything else, you know, to learn how to be more dependent on God. And the hunger prompts you, the hunger is what prompts you and helps you to recognize how dependent you are on food, but that should move us to be learning how to be dependent on God, learning how to be dependent on the Father. You know, so here's some practicals for praying and for fasting. Number one, make prayer a priority. You know, set an alarm or a notification, or challenge yourself to pray the first thing in the morning when you get out of bed. Number two, pray continuously. In 1 Thessalonians, it talks about that. But make a detailed prayer list, you know, with all kinds of prayer requests, petitions, and have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and pray for different things. Pray for the campus ministry, for the guys and the girls you're studying the Bible with. Pray for your family to become disciples. But, you know, you don't have to start that big. You can start smaller, but with all, you know, the prayer requests that we have coming in, it'll be cool to start setting yourself up, learning how to pray continuously throughout the day. So you have your morning prayer, but then in the evening, you pull out your phone and you start praying for other things. Amen? You know, every time you're tempted or have an emotion or have a thought or impure thought, pray for someone studying the Bible or pray for someone in your life that you want to see become a Christian. You know, and here's some practicals for fasting. Number one, start small. You know, if you're new to this, begin by going half of the day or maybe from sunup to sundown. And then gradually increase to one full day, and then maybe to two full days. And number two, you could begin fasting from solid food, but still drinking juices or maybe some water. And then number three, you can do a water fast, which is more difficult. But that's where you drink water, and this will be more challenging because our bodies are used to sugar, our bodies are used to the donuts, are used to the pizza and the good things that we feed our bodies. So this is going to be
the
more
good things.
And you're going to need to pray more and more and more. We're going to need to pray more and more on those days. So you know, this will take a lot of prayer and diligence. Honestly, it's going to take a lot of prayer and diligence. And number four, what is most important is that you go to your doctor to see if you can even fast. Honestly, to see if you're healthy enough to fast. Because God doesn't want you hurting yourself. We don't want you hurting yourself. So check that out. I really hope that God was able to help us to see how important Bible study is, how important deep-rooted Bible study is, spending time with God, spending time in the Word, spending time and allowing God to grow us, because the Bible is our lives. And I really hope that you see the importance of praying and fasting and desiring to be closer to God, because the ultimate goal is that you want to give God the glory with your life. So I really hope that these practicals help and that this lesson helped you, and to God be the glory. Thank you.